The eighth parak focuses on the Isser of Basar v'chalav. This is actually a pasuk, not once, not twice, but three times in the Torah. It says, Los tevashal gedi b'chalev imo, do not cook, literally a kid, a gedi, but it means any kosher animal, in its mother's milk. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, that this prohibition applies, kol habasar asur levashal b'chalav, all types of meat. It's talking about a behema, which is a domesticated animal, a chaya, which is a non-domesticated animal, and an off and a bird as well. They're not all d'oraisa, but we won't get into which is d'oraisa, which is d'rabbana. We'll get into that a little bit later in our parak. Kol habasar asur levashal b'chalav, chutz mibzar dagim b'chagavim. The prohibition of basar b'chalav does not apply to dagim, which is fish, and chagavim, grasshoppers. So if somebody would cook milk together with fish, there would not be an isra basa b'chalav. And on a rabbinic level, va'asra las loso imagvina la shulchan, you can't even have this meat on a shulchan, on a table together. So you can't have meat together with cheese, literally cheese, but it means dairy, including milk, on the same table. We are concerned you may come and eat meat and milk together. You may bring a boiling hot pot of meat, and that'll be the basar, and eat it together with chalav, so you can come to violate the Isra Midoraisa. Chutz mibsar dagim b'chagavim, again, the exception to the rule is you can have on the same table, you can have dairy together with fish, or dairy together with grasshoppers, should you desire to eat grasshoppers. Continuing, hanodar min habasar, not so related to basar b'chalav, but nonetheless it relates to basar. If somebody made an oath, makes a neder, I am not going to eat basar, there is a general rule when it comes to the nedarim that we go achar lashon bnei adam. We use the phraseology, the terminology that people use. So if somebody would say, I'm not going to eat basar, what do they mean? They only mean behema, chai, and off, red meat, and also fowl, but mutar bibsar dagim v'chavim, again, you would be permitted to eat of the fish and the grasshoppers. That would not be included in the phrase basar. Getting back to the topic of having them on the same table, how about having chicken, fowl, together on the same table with dairy? This is a machlokes beis Shammai and beis Hillel. Ha'of ole imagvina ala shulchan ve'eino ne'achal. Divrei beis Shammai, you're permitted to put fowl on the same table together, literally with cheese, it means dairy, milk, etc., on the same table, but don't eat them together. But beis Shammai is lenient that you can have them on the same time at the same table. Obeys Hillel Omrim lo olev lo nechal. Beis Shammai says, don't even put it on the table. Don't put them on the table together. Certainly don't eat them together. Amar Rabbi Yossi zemekule Beis Shammai mechumrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi points out an interesting fact that here we have Beis Shammai, who's typically machmir. Beis Shammai is being lenient that you can have the off together with the gvina on the same table. Umechurme Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel is being machmir, don't even have them on the table together. Ve'ez a shulchan amra, when we are talking about, we have a concern that you shouldn't put the meat and the dairy, the fish, the off and the gvina on the same table. What type of table are we talking about? B'shulchan she'ochel alav. It is the typical table that you eat on, your dining room table, your breakfast table, but it's not. Aval b'shulchan she'soder alav es atavshil. If you're simply organizing to food as a docking station, for example, it's on your counter in your kitchen to bring it out. No sin zebetzadze ve'eno choshes. You can put them together on next to each other. You don't have to be concerned you're going to come to eat it because you're not eating off your kitchen counter. Obviously, you're not going to want to bring out milk and meat at the same time, but you're at least allowed to have them together on a different table that you're not eating off of. Mishnah Bay is continuing. Tzorer adam basar gvina b'mit pachas achas. You're allowed to put together basar and gvina, meat and dairy, together with in one cloth. If you are you're carrying them together, you can put it in the same wrapping. As long as they don't touch each other, because if they do touch, even if they're both cold, you would be required to wash them off. So make sure they're not touching. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shnei Achsanaim Ochlim al Shulchan Echad. If you have two guests at an inn, they're eating at the same table. Ze basar ve ze gvina, be permitted to eat for them. To eat meat and dairy at the same table, we're not concerned that they're going to swap food because we're talking about people that don't know each other. However, if we're talking about relatives, people who know each other, they're familiar with each other, they should not eat at the same table, meat and dairy. They would need like a barrier between them or something to remind them, like one eating on a mat and one not eating on a mat. Mishnah Gimel. Tipas chalav shenafel ala chaticha. Now we're going to talk about basar b'chalav and cooking. What happens if you have a drop of dairy, a drop of milk, and it fell on a piece of meat that is sticking out of the pot that you are cooking together with other meat? So it only lands on one piece of meat that's protruding from the gravy. In that situation, Im yesh ba beno sentam ba oso chaticha aser. We look at only that piece of meat, and if that dairy, if that drop of dairy, that milk, will transfer its tam, its taste, into that specific piece of meat, then that piece of meat is going to be prohibited. Otherwise, it's not going to be prohibited, but this will not impact the rest of the meat in that pot. On the other hand, near a sekder, if you quickly mixed, once that drop of milk fell onto the pot of onto that piece of meat, and you mixed it all together before that drop of milk went into that piece of meat alone, now we have more concern. Now we have to look at the entire pot as a whole. And if that drop can give tam to the entire pot is going to be prohibited. Otherwise, it's not going to be prohibited. Hakechal. We're now talking about an udder. An udder, and when you did shechita on the animal, you had milk in that udder, so can you cook them together? So hakechal, that udder, koro umotzi es chalava, we're going to explain this based on the Bar Tanura, who says that if you want to cook that udder with the milk inside of it with other meat, not the udder itself, you want to cook it with the udder and other meat in addition, in that situation, you have to be sure to remove the milk, cut that udder up and down, and hit it against the wall to make sure as much as the milk comes out as possible. If a little bit remnant is left in, that would be acceptable. But otherwise, if you want to cook it with other meat, that is the process you would have to do. Lo kero, however, you are not required to rip it open if you want to cook it by itself with the other. So if you just want to cook the udder together with the milk and no other meat, eino over alav, there's going to be no iser. Not only that, it's going to be mutter the chathkila as well. That is talking about when we have milk in an udder. How about when you did shechita on the animal and you have blood that is in the chamber of the heart? What do you have to do there? Halev, koro, motzi es damo. You're not allowed to eat that blood, so you have to be sure to remove that blood. Cut open the heart, remove that blood from it. Lo kara'o. If you didn't cut it open, we'll just lead it literally. The Mishnah, eino over alav, there's no iser. What's talking about, as explained by the Gemara, of course there's going to be an iser if you have a kazayas of blood. Even though it's in the chamber of the heart, but that's blood in the heart, you can't eat it. It's talking about a chicken. A chicken has a very small heart. It doesn't have a kazayas of blood in the heart itself. So accordingly, if you would eat it because it didn't have a kazayas, you wouldn't be over the Isser Doraisa. Continuing, Amal Esav, this is harking back to what we saw before. If somebody indeed would put the off, would put the fowl, im ha-gvina al-ashulchan, together with gvina, together with dairy on the same table, you shouldn't do it. But if you did, eino over below, I'll say we're not concerned you're going to violate the Isser midoraisa, because we're talking about fowl. The Isser doraisa is only meat together with milk, but not fowl together with milk. So if you did have it on the table, you shouldn't have done. We're not concerned you're going to be over an Isser doraisa, even if you would eat them together. Mishnah Dalar, we're going to now get back to our pasuk. Lo tevashal gedi b'chalev imo. We said gedi means meat, and chalav is milk, obviously. And we're going to have to qualify now what types of meat does this prohibition apply to, have meat and milk together, and what types of milk. So the Mishnah Dalar says that it's talking about when you have kosher meat and kosher milk, and you cook them together, that is the Isser. And we have the Psukim three times to teach us that there's an Isser to be mevashala, to cook it. There's also an Isser to eat it, and there's an Isser of Hana'a as well. Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Bisar behema tahora, bechala behema tahora. If we have meat from a kosher animal and milk from a kosher animal, cooking them together, that is asu levashal vasrubana. That is the Isser d'oraisa to cook it, the Isser d'oraisa to have hana from it, also the Isser hana if you would eat it. Bisar behema tahora bechaleh behema tamea. On the other hand, if we have only one of those two as being from a kosher animal and the other being from a non-kosher animal, for example, the meat is from a kosher animal, but the milk is from a non-kosher animal, or the reverse, bisar behema tamea bechaleh behema tahora. If you have the meat from a treif animal and the milk is from a kosher animal, and certainly if they're both from a non-kosher animal, mutar levashel, mutar banah, there's no iser to cook it, there's no iser to have hana from it. Obviously, you cannot eat it because it's treif, but this isn't the classic iser of basar b'chalav, that there's an iser together of cooking, eating, and having hana from it. Rabbi Akiva Omar, now we're going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is the prohibition of basar v'chala, cooking from the kosher animal and with the kosher meat together, with the kosher milk together, does that only apply to a chaya, which is a domesticated animal, or does it apply to a behema, a domesticated animal, or does it also apply to a chaya, a non-domesticated animal? Rabbi Akiva Omer, chaya v'of eina min haTorah, the prohibition of basar v'chala does not apply to a chaya, for example, a deer, and it also doesn't apply to fowl. That's not the Yisr D'Oraisa Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Lo tevashal gedi b'chalev imo. Gedi is a kosher animal, which is a behema, not a chaya. And in fact, it says the Pasuk three times, Shalosh Pe'amim, to exclude three scenarios that are not included in the Yisr Basar B'chalev. What are they? Prat, to exclude l'chaya. That if you would cook Basar B'chalev, and one of them is from a chaya, or both of them come from a chaya, there's no iser. Or the off, if it comes to a chicken, if you use chicken meat. Ula behema tameo, or a non-kosher animal, the prohibition doesn't apply. Relevant for us, Rabbi Akiva is telling us the prohibition only applies to a behema, not to a chaya. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, I disagree. If you look at the Pasuk Nemar in Devarim, Yudalef, Chafalef, Perek Yudalef, Pasuk Chafalef, Nemar lo sochlu kol nevela, the same Pasuk, it says, don't eat a nevela. Nevela is a kosher animal that did not have a kosher shechita. V'nemar, and it says in the very same Pasuk, lo devashal gadiba chalev imo, the Isra Basar V'chalev, and we're going to learn one from the other. When the Isra of Nevela applies, the Isra Basar V'chalev applies. Et Sha'asu Mishum Nevela, whenever there's going to be an Isra of Nevela, which applies not only to Behema, but also to Achaya, Asu Levashal V'chalev. Also, there's going to be the Isra Basar V'chalev. Accordingly, Basar V'chalev applies not only to Behema, to Achaya as well. So you may want to tell me if our test is going to be that when we have an Isra of Nevela, we also are going to have an Isra of Basar B'chalav, how about off? And off, a chicken can also have an Isra, a fowl can also have an Isra of Nevela. Do you want to say also that the same thing applies, that you can have Basar B'chalav with an off as well? Off, Shasha Misu Nevela, Yachol Ye'asu Levasha B'chalav. Do you want to say that Isra Basar B'chalav also applies to a fowl? Talmud Lomer, no, we exclude fowl, we exclude the chicken, the turkey, etc. Talmud Lomer B'chalev Imo. It says specifically that the prohibition of Basar B'chalav applies when you're cooking in its mother's milk. It doesn't mean literally its mother's milk, but it means the type of an animal that has milk. Yatsa of, this is coming to exclude an of, she'en lo chalev imo, that it does not lactate. Only mammals lactate, fowl do not lactate. Accordingly, the fowl is not in the category or having basar b'chalav. So bottom line, Rabbi Akiva is telling us that the prohibition of basar b'chalav applies only to behema, not a chay, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili is telling us that it applies as well to a chaya, not only a behema, but a chaya as well. Mishnah Hey. Now it's going to get a little bit complicated. We're going to have three halachas in this Mishnah, and we'll see in the end of the day that number one is that going to actually conflict with number three. Kevas Nochri V'shel Nevela. The Gemara explains that this is talking about when you have a non-Jew that shechted an animal and made it an Nevela. That's what it's talking about. And now we have this animal that's an Nevela, and we find in its stomach, which is the Keva. Keva is one of the stomachs. We find in it milk or rennet. Milk turns into rennet. So we have this this otherwise kosher milk. For example, we have this, it's an animal that is kosher. We'll assume that it's a calf, that it's suckled from its mother, it has kosher milk inside of it, but it is now a nevela because a non-Jew did the shechita, hareza asura, because the animal is a nevela, the milk inside of it is non-kosher as well. So we see from this that we go after the target animal, the one that had the milk inside of it, that's going to dictate if it's a kosher animal, and then the milk is going to be kosher based on as long as it came from a kosher source. But we're going to look at is the animal. Is the animal kosher? It's going to be kosher milk. If the animal is not kosher, like here it's a nevela, it's not going to be kosher milk. Halacha number two. What we want to try to do is we want to make cheese. And the way to make cheese, you take milk and you put a curdling agent in the cheese. A curdling agent, one of them is something called rennet. Rennet is located, is found in the lining of the stomach of an animal. So what you want to do, or what they wanted to do in the Mishnah is as follows, is to take milk and to throw a keva, which is is the fourth stomach of an animal, as far as stomach of a calf, and throw that into the milk. But is that not creating a problem of basar b'chalav? On the one hand, you're trying to create cheese and you're throwing the stomach in, it has rennet, and you're going to be able to use that to curdle the cheese. On the other hand, you are putting meat and milk together. Hamamid ba'or shel keva kashera. Somebody who indeed tried to do this, he's placing the or, which is referring to the meat of the cave of the stomach, and it was from a kosher animal, and he puts it into milk. Imyesh benosein tam, if there is a nosein tam, if there's enough meat there that will put a tam of meat into the milk, hazreiz asura, that prohibits the milk. So it's a nosein tam is our test. Halacha number three in this Mishnah, keshera, if we have a kosher calf, for example, a kosher animal, and it shiyan kamina trefa, and what he did was it nursed from a non-kosher animal, and you do the shechita, so now it has milk inside of it, kevasa asura, the milk, the rennet inside the stomach, that is going to be usur because it came from a treif animal. Trefa shiyan kamina keshera, if we have a non-kosher animal. So for example, if we have a pig that drank from a kosher animal, from a cow, for example. So now we do shechita on that non-kosher animal, and we have that, what we would think is kosher milk inside that non-kosher animal, but we saw in the first halacha that if you find the milk in a veil, it's going to be treif, but here we say otherwise. Treif ashiyan kamina ksher, if we have that non-kosher animal, which is like an avela of the first halacha, and it drank from a kosher animal, so it has kosher milk inside of it, but it's inside a treif animal, keva samuteris, the keva, which is referring to the milk or the rennet inside of it, is mutter, mibnei shekanus b'me'ea, because we look at it as if it's in its own container inside the treif animal, and just because it's in a treif animal, it doesn't mean it's treif, it's kosher milk. So we have a stira between the first halacha and the third halacha, and the Gemara indeed reconciles it that the first halacha that says because it's in a treif animal, the milk is treif, that was the an earlier view of the Tanaim, and then the third halacha, which says because the milk came from a kosher animal and it's now in a treif animal, we look at it as if it's in its own container. That is a later view of the Tanaim. Mishnah Vav, to complete the Perek. On a high level, when we have dam and chelev, you're not allowed to eat dam, blood, you're not allowed to eat chelev, which sometimes you can't eat chelev, we'll see shortly. Chelev from a behema, you're not allowed to eat. And if you ate it inadvertently, b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chata. So somebody who has dam or chelev has to bring a korban chata. So now we're going to say, Mishnah Vav, that chomer b'chelev mita b'dam. Sometimes we are stricter when it comes to chelev, a certain type of fat, the chomer b'dam b'chelev. And sometimes we're going to be stricter when it comes to blood relative to the chelev. And we'll go as follows, chomer b'chelev. There are certain times that we are stricter when it comes to chelev, sha'chelev mo'alim bo. If somebody has personal benefit by chelev that's owned from by the Beis HaMikdash, for example, by a korban, and he has personal benefit from it, he violates the Isra of Me'ila. That is a law in the Torah. V'chayavin ala mishum pigo v'noser v'tame. And also, if somebody would have chelev, he's going to violate the prohibitions of pigo, noser, and tame. What does that mean? So I'll very quickly, we'll say as follows. Pigo is when somebody brings a korban. At one of the stages, one of the four stages in bringing the korban, he has a thought that he's going to, for example, just an example, that he is going to eat the meat chutzas mano. I'm going to eat the meat of this korban out of the ascribed appropriate time to eat it. Because of that, the korban is invalid and it has a status of pigul such that if somebody would eat the meat of that animal, he would be chayev kares. So here we're saying that if instead of eating the meat, you ate the chelev, that is also violating the prohibition of pigul. And in addition, nosar means that if there's meat that's left over for a korban and it's past the apportion time, the allotted time that you had, you're allowed to eat it 2 days and one night, it's the third day. If somebody would eat it, also that's a lav in the Torah. And also if somebody would eat a korban and he is tame, that is also a lav in the Torah. So what we're saying is if somebody would eat the chelev, not only are you going to violate the lav of eating the chelev, but if it's pigul, noser, tame, you're going to violate a second lav as well. Masha enkein b'dam, this doesn't apply to dam, that if somebody had personal benefit from the blood of a korban, there's no me'ila. And also if somebody would eat that dam, for example, you certainly violate the prohibition of eating dam, but you're not going to violate, if it's from a pigul or if it's noser or your tame, you're not going to violate a second prohibition. The chomer b'dam. However, sometimes we're stricter when it comes to dam. Shadam noheg b'behema v'chayav o'of. The prohibition of eating blood applies to a domesticated animal, a non-domesticated animal, fowl, bein to me and bein to him. It applies whether they're kosher or not kosher or kosher. V'chelev eino noheg ela b'behema tor bilvad. With the prohibition of eating the chelev, the fat, only applies if that fat came from a behema, a domesticated animal, that is kosher. However, if it came from a chaya, it came from a treif animal, the prohibition of eating chelev would not be applicable.